Welcome to No One's Ever Asking That, where you'll hear inspiring, real, behind-the-scenes stories from high achievers building a life and a business with passion, designed to motivate you, inspire you, teach you, and show you exactly what's possible for you, too. This is No One's Ever Asked Me That with your host, Christine McAllister. Welcome, everyone, to this super special episode, an interview with the incredible Denise Duffield Thomas. I have been looking forward to this interview for months, and Denise is joining us from tomorrow morning in Australia, because that's how this works. And we both put on some makeup, and I dyed my hair for this interview. So you could tell I'm pretty, well, my husband dyed my hair, and our bathroom walls are sorry, but the grays are gone, right? So this is what you do in quarantine. You do what you have to do, but we're excited to be bringing you this conversation to talk about how to remove your money blocks and create abundance, which is something that Denise, who is a self-made multimillionaire, is an absolute expert on. And what I love so much about her is that there's this quote that I use often from Darren Hardy that says, only take advice from someone you trade places with. And there's so much advice out there. But frankly, one of the reasons that I love Denise so much is that she's super congruent. She's super open. And she's in a similar stage of life to me with, she has three young kids at home. And so she gets it, right? She is somebody I would actually trade places with. And whether or not you have young kids at home, she is rocking it on all levels of her business. And this is her absolute zone of genius. So thank you, Denise, for making time, especially during quarantine, to be here live with us and even to get on video today.
Ah, you're so welcome. It's so funny. My eyes are like, what is this thing? My eyelashes, I've got to put mascara on. And my eyes are like, what is this that you've done? And actually, what I was thinking recently, because we're all scrolling on our phones, right, all the time, and all the ads in my feeds are for like wiglets, magnetic eyelashes, eyebrow stamps, all this stuff. And I was thinking, actually, that would be really handy for Zoom. I'd love to have like a Zoom wig, you know, quickly stamp on my eyebrows, quickly put on my magnetic lashes, you know, like this 5-minute Zoom makeup would be great. But I'm really excited to speak to your community because, you know, money blocks are something that we all have. And for those of you who don't know what money blocks are, it's any belief or story that stops you from making money or making the money that you want. Some of you have never heard of the term before. Some of you might have, but it's, let me give you some scenarios of where it might be showing up. So it could be showing up in being fearful about having money conversations, being fearful about asking for the sale, being stuck at an income plateau for a long time, feeling a sense of guilt or shame about money, and being terrified to have some money conversations. Now, not everyone experiences money blocks in the same way. We all have our own flavor of them. And the truth is, I don't think there's ever a time where you're not going to have some sort of fear about money, especially if you're growing in your business, you're growing as a person. There's always going to be something either new to be scared about because you're growing, right? Or what I actually find is that you'll uncover new facets of your money blocks. And we can really dive into some specifics around that. So even though I always say, oh, I'm going to help you clear your money blocks, the truth is I won't. I'll help you discover them, uncover them, and learn to make money even though you have them, because I still have them as well. Yes. And I'm still working on mine all the time too.
Yes, I love that. Thanks for giving that explanation. And back to your like thing about the Zoom face, my three-year-old, I turned around from putting on my makeup and she goes, your eyes look different. I was like, and that's when you know how long it's been since you wore makeup. But that's also the great thing about what we do, is that we're able to, this is normal for us. We work from home, right? And I think that one of the things a lot of people are discovering during this time is it can be easier to make money than the traditional, I go to a 9-to-5, I have an hour and a half round trip commute like I used to, I slave away, it has to be hard, right? Some people have been furloughed and they're going full-time in their business in this community, but we're all working on this idea of income replacement and hitting our first six figures, right? Or making, sustaining a six-figure business. And so I'm curious, I know that you've been at this for a bit, right? Like you've been in this, you've been an online entrepreneur for a minute. And what, and also like you didn't start out believing all of the things you now know to be true about money and that you teach your community, right?
So
Can you give us a little history on like how you grew up? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, sure. So I don't think you guys have got this Australian show in America. It's called Home and Away. But basically, all the cliches you see about Australia in some ways, kind of how I grew up in a way. I grew up near the beach, but my mom was really young when she had me. So she was 18. She was a single mom for most of my life. And because she had me so young and she left school so young, she didn't have any qualifications. And so we were on welfare for most of my life. And we have, we're really lucky in Australia. We definitely have a social safety net. So we never starved. We just didn't have money. You know, we didn't have a lot of money. But you know what? The funny thing was, I actually didn't know for a long time because all of my friends were in the same boat. And when you grow up in government housing, like literally every person has the same house. Like they're not different. They're exactly the same. And so I didn't really know that there was any other way. So I didn't really feel a whole lot of lack around that. When I was 11, though, my mom married a rich guy. Like, and he was quite rich for like the standards of our town, right? So we had a big house, really fancy kind of house. And so I was like, oh my God, now I'm a rich kid. And it was really interesting because then I noticed a lot of contrast between me and my friend. Mm-hmm. And we had a really nice car all of a sudden. We had a pool. My stepdad bought me a pony. We showed how you have horses. But the thing was, it didn't last. So they were together for about 6 years, but they broke up every like 6 months to a year. And so in the breaking up, we would go back into a really, really small flat and we would go from having this amazing car with those pop-up headlights, you know, those ones were in the 90s, they were like, to my mom's brown little Tirana with the rips in the dashboard. And so I guess my story around money around that was men have all the money, men have all the power, good times never last. You shouldn't actually get too excited or braggy about your wealth because it could all be ripped away at any point. But the gift that my stepdad gave me, even though they were not a good match, he was an entrepreneur. And so it made me realize that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I wanted to make my own money. But I didn't know how to do it and I didn't know how to ask for the sale. And I had a lot of those ingrained money blocks that a lot of women have around it's not nice to talk about money and, you know, men have all the money. And a lot of those things that I was really fearful about. So I tried a ton of businesses my whole life, right? From being a teenager, being a young woman in my 20s. But I had these unconscious money blocks. Mm. You know, my first info product, though, was in 2003. So 17 years ago, and it was an ebook, and ebooks were like really new back then, right? And it wasn't even, I couldn't even sell it myself. I had to go through an ebook publisher because there was no PayPal. There was no way to electronically give this thing to someone. Like there just wasn't the technology to do it. I couldn't build my own website, any of those things. So that info product was called Internet Dating Tips for Men. It was because I was a young person, I was doing internet dating and I saw a problem, right? This is where the best businesses come from. We go, wow, people suck at that. Oh, that's, no one knows how to do that. Why don't I help them? And I think that's the theme that has really followed my entrepreneurial life is like, oh, there's a problem. I'll find the solution for it. The reason why I discovered my money blocks is because I knew I had a lot of ideas and I was getting really sick of the yo-yo between having a job and quitting to start my own business, not knowing how to make money, not being able to ask for the sale, having to go back into my job. I was just on this 6 month cycle, sometimes less, depending on how quick I ran out of money. And so I went, you know what? I'm so sick of this. I have been a student of personal development for a long time. Why can't I make this work?
Right.
You know, like why aren't my affirmations working and why isn't the law of attraction working? So what I did was I realized that a lot of those books don't talk about money. So you've got the money books and you've got the personal development books, but there was no real mix in between. And so yes. I was like, well, what if I what if I took these principles I'm learning about forgiveness and self-love that I'm learning from like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer? Why don't I apply that to my money? The stuff that like Susie Orman's talking about or Dave Ramsey's talking about. And it really worked for me. You know, I realized that I had a lot of these stories around money that it was like, no wonder I can't ask for the sale. No wonder all my businesses are failing because I feel really bad. I've got these underlying thoughts about money that I feel like I'm going to die if I ask for it.
Yes.
So that's where my exploration came. And then of course, because I've got that mentality of like, oh, I'll learn something. I'll teach it to someone else. Yeah. I was like, maybe other people would like to know about this too. And so I quit my last job about 11 years ago. And I've been teaching money mindset pretty much ever since.
I love that. Can you remember a moment, Denise, when this mission really clicked for you? You know, along the lines of this is what I do. I see a problem, I bring a solution, right? You've been doing that for 17 years. What was the moment when you were like, nope, this is the thing I will now be teaching forever?
Well, actually, it was a moment around my 30th birthday where I thought, you know what? I've always really wanted to do. I want to be a coach. And I'd been resisting that for a long time because I actually hired a life coach when I was at university. So almost 22 years ago, I hired a life coach. And I just thought, oh, it's so cheesy. Even though at the time I thought I could totally do this. Like, this is what I do for all my friends.
Yeah.
This is what I've, you know, this is how I've been my whole life is people come to me with their problems. But I thought it was super cheesy. So it wasn't until, you know, like almost 11 years later, I thought, okay, I'm actually going to go for it. I'm going to be a coach. So I did my coaching qualification. And from that first session, I was like, oh, this is what I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. This is so good. But then it doesn't mean it was perfect, right? Because I was like, oh, I don't like coaching men. I like coaching women. And then I was like, oh, I don't like coaching corporate women. I want to coach entrepreneurs.
Yep.
And then it was like, oh, I'm not good at coaching beginners, you know? And so it's just a series of going, oh, what am I good at? Oh, what feels good? Yeah, that's been my journey. But I do remember very clearly thinking about, because I was talking about money with my friends and just with a few of my clients, and I got the urge to do a course, you know, and I was like, oh no, no. And I felt it so strongly. I don't know if anyone's ever felt that feeling where you kind of feel you're calling it in your heart. You feel like you just want to, you're going to burst if you don't do it.
Yeah.
But I was like, universe, I reject this calling. Like, I reject it. I don't want to be the money girl. I'll have to go back to university and do a finance degree. You know, that procrastinate learning that we all think we need another certificate before we're allowed to do it. So I did that too. I was like, oh no, I need to do this. Oh, maybe I need elocution lessons first.
Yes.
Maybe I need to, like, I don't know, get more professional. You know, I'm not allowed to talk about money. So it was all of those things. And finally I just went, okay. I was like, okay, universe, if you make it easy, I'll do it. If I'm just allowed to be myself, I'll do it. And that's not being ego. I don't think I'm the only person, you know, who's allowed to talk about this thing. But I did realize that it was part of my role in life is to talk about it in my way because some people have never heard it in that way before. So
yeah,
I think there's this feeling that we can only be a guru to count, or there has to be only one. It's the I talk about it in my book. It's the vagina Smith thing, where it's like there's only one female Smurf,
right?
And you know, and if you're a minority, you're there's only allowed to be one black friend, you know, there's only allowed to be one Asian person, there's only allowed to be one of, you know, and so there's only allowed to be one person in a wheelchair. So we've got this feeling that there's only one slot, and yes, if someone else is in it, then that's it. Instead of going, oh, well, you know what? Maybe my voice matters too. And maybe I can add to the chorus of people talking about this to tip it into the mainstream. Or no one said it with my face. No one said it with my body shape. I haven't heard people with kids talk about it like this. Yep. And so as soon as I realized I could be a contributor, yes, not a guru, I was like, oh, great. The pressure's off.
I love that you like have created that conversation, right? About being a contributor and not having to be a guru. That's such a powerful reframe. And I also love that, like you mentioned, you're always trying new things, right? And getting clarity from that, right? And I've watched you do that since I've been following you for the past several years. How do you decide if and when to try new things? Because you've got your books, which are perennial bestsellers and kicking so much ass on Amazon. Congratulations, all the time, over and over and over, right? And everybody needs to read them all immediately now. And I love the audiobooks because that's how I roll, chasing children and, you know, doing
children. Oh yeah, of course.
And you read them. So I highly recommend those. And you have your money bootcamp, which is your signature course. And you're also playing with other new things all the time. So how do you decide what you're going to play with, what you're going to take on, what you're going to stop, you know, all of that?
Yeah. I think sometimes the wider question is, am I in the right business? You know, like, does it feel good? And I appreciate people who, you know, really honor that in themselves and go, this business has run its course, or I don't enjoy this anymore, or I want to tweak the people that I serve, or I want to tweak how I serve. And even though I've had the same program now for almost 9 years, I have shifted up how I've marketed it. I've shifted up how I've delivered it. You know, this year we're experimenting with doing a monthly call instead of intense kind of 6 week rounds. So I think that's, you know, I think we've got to give ourselves permission to shift and change, permission to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, or permission to just ditch the whole thing if it doesn't work anymore. I think when you have a sense of dread, it's time to shift. You know, like if you look at your calendar and just go, oh, I can't face any of those people, I can't face any of those things, then let it go. And I think it was my friend Nikki Elledge Brown who said, know the difference between a bad day and a bad business. And I just thought, yeah. And she's got a great podcast, by the way, Naptime Empires, about building your business when your kids are asleep, or, you know, juggling kids. And I really listened to that, because sometimes I just think, oh, and then I go, no, you know what? That's a bad day. That's okay. It's not a bad business. Sometimes I also get shiny object syndrome like anyone else. And I remind myself that, you know, don't kill the golden goose.
Right.
Don't kill what's working just because you're bored or you're in a sabotagey mood.
Yeah.
Yes. We've all been there, right? Where you're like, I just want to break some shit. And it's like,
right.
No, don't break your business. Sometimes people do it to prove that they can. And this is a money block, right? If we go into money blocks. There's a personality type called the ruler. This is a money personality type. And this personality type can break their business because it's too easy. And they want to challenge themselves. The mavericks do this as well, right? And this is a really good example of a maverick ruler thing. I had a client once and she said, I'm going to delete my whole email list. I was like, why would you do that? She goes, I want to challenge myself to see how quickly I can get it back. And I was just like, that is just such a classic ruler maverick thing. It's like, how can I set up some artificial hurdles to almost prove myself, prove that I can do it? So I think that's really fascinating, right? Looking at what your sabotages are around money. And that can be a little bit of mine. So what I do is to trick myself. First of all, I have a decoy to-do list. It's really funny, right? So it's like, if I'm procrastinating doing one thing, I'll have a decoy to-do list of stuff that's still useful for my business, but I feel like I'm being naughty and procrastinating. Or I give myself a challenge, so that the way you can shift that feeling of like, I'm going to break it all to see how quickly I can rebuild it. And I said to her, why don't you set yourself a challenge to see how quickly you can double it? So it's the same thing, but it's like harnessing those parts of your personality that sometimes feel like they're a bit naughty. You know, it's like, ooh, I'm going to break some stuff. So I don't know what question you asked me. I just went off on a total tangent.
No, I love that. I mean, it was around, yeah, how do you decide if and when to try new things or stop them, right? Oh. And you gave a really beautiful answer to that. And also, I love that you're talking about, like, how do you wiggle around your own BS in a way that works for you, right? In a way that's still productive. Like, you're tricking yourself. You have this decoy to-do list. How do you decide what goes on the decoy to-do list?
Well, here's what I do. I say to myself, I can do anything marketing-wise. All roads lead to boot camp. That's my motto. All roads lead to boot camp. Yes. So I'm not breaking down here. I can mess around up here. Yep. As long as there's a tenuous link to someone will be interested in buy my book. And so for me, another mantra I use is my face is my fortune. So as long as I'm showing up, then that will lead to boot camp at some point. So I'm just not breaking this. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Like, you know, not to blow up to kill the golden goose, right? You know, boot camp is the thing, right? You've been doing it for 9 years. And that's such a great example of the power of focus, right? Because you can play with it so many different ways and also know that whatever you do is going to involve showing up and talking about boot camp somehow.
Somehow. Right. And you know what? I'm not focused. I'm just lazy. I'm lazy, but also I'm smart about the fact that I'm lazy. So one other thing that I've said to myself is when I've sold as many boot camps as Marie Forleo has sold her B school, break whatever shit you want.
Right. Okay?
She's at 60. Yeah, exactly. She's at 60,000 people and growing. So it's a little harder for me to catch up to where she's at. But that's, again, another way of tricking myself. I go, you know what? That's totally fine. Another project I'm working on at the moment is I'm working on a series of guides, which is money blocks for different industries.
Oh, cool.
So that's a way of procrastinating, right? It's like, it's not really needed, but it will lead to boot camp.
Yeah.
But it stops me from breaking my golden goose.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love that. And I love that you brought up the personality types specifically related to business and money, because one of the things that I find that like this community of high achievers so often overlook when pursuing making money from our passions, right? Is like how we are wired. So, and I know that you're a personality nerd like I am. So I'm curious about a couple of the like more widely known personality assessments and if you're into them and if you're open to sharing your type or preference if you know them.
Absolutely. Well, I think all of them, you can learn a nugget from every single personality test.
Yeah.
And I'm a quick start in Colby, for example.
Uh-huh.
So Colby is a great one where it's like there's four different numbers that you get. And I can't remember all of them, but I know for quick start, it's like, are you someone who jumps in or are you someone who needs a little bit of time, right? So I'm like the highest number in that. So I often make decisions very quickly. I jump into things without doing any research at all. One of the other numbers is called Fact Finder. I'm very low in Fact Finder because I'm just like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Let's do it. So that's a blessing and a curse, I think, for entrepreneurs. So I think Colby is great. In Fascination Advantage, which is Sally Hogshead thing, I am the avant-garde, which kind of surprised, I did that probably about 10 years ago. So I'd be interested to see if that's changed for me because I don't think I am that innovative because maybe it's because I do have the all roads lead to boot camp. I feel like I'm not. And I'm a Virgo and I think that influences my business quite a bit too. So I can be very discerning very quickly about what I'll take on. I'm very discerning with my energy. Uh-huh. So most of the time I'll just be like, can't be bothered. Exactly. And I've got a really good attention to detail too. So even though I do things quickly, my first draft is often pretty good. And I get frustrated with my team because they often don't spell check things and just little Virgo things that I'm like,
right.
Got over a pixel.
Detail. What about Enneagram or Myers-Briggs? Are you into this?
Yeah, I am, but I can never remember which one I am in either of those. Yeah, I literally can't remember off the top of my head. Whatever the entrepreneurial one is in Enneagram, I know there's one that's like the one that who like jumps around and tries a bunch of things. I can't remember which one it is. And I can never remember my Myers-Briggs one either. It's only four things, but I can never remember. You're an introvert,
right?
I am an introvert. Yeah. I'm a massive, massive introvert. And people are often surprised about that because they think, oh, you have a big business or you do a lot of speaking or you do a lot of videos. But, you know, like we're not in the same room.
Right.
Like most of my life is talking to a computer screen, talking to a phone. I do speaking. It's not my preferred. And I did a lot of speaking last year. I did a book tour around Australia. So I did 15 cities. I did a lot more speaking gigs than I did in like probably the previous 5 years last year. Mm-hmm. This year I'd planned to do a lot as well. They've all been canceled because of coronavirus. But saying that, the most important point from that, right, is what you were kind of alluding to before is you have to build your business based on your preferences, not someone else's. So, you know, the type of clients that work for you, the style of delivery that works for you, you've got to find your own little unique puzzle because otherwise you can only offer what you can offer. Otherwise it's unsustainable. And I think there's a lot of people who talk about, you know, finding your niche. And I just go, why don't you just find what works for you and then find those people who will like that exact thing?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Because there is a niche for everyone. If there's somebody who can make 5 figures a month selling cat grooming videos, you're going to be fine selling your thing online, right? One of the other things I love about you, you brought up the Virgo thing. So you're a Virgo. And if I'm not mistaken, your husband is a Scorpio, right?
Yes.
I remember this because I'm a Scorpio and my husband is a Virgo. And I think we have like some of the same slash opposite, right, reactions to, were you saying something a while ago about like you needed a clean desktop on your laptop?
Oh my God. Yes.
And his is like a total just mess. And so is mine. And I remember showing that to my husband and going like, do you feel so seen right now?
Yes. Well, actually, this was our biggest shock for us, right? Is that we thought, oh, we've always wanted to work together. We've wanted to work together for years. Right. And then we started working together and we're like, holy shit. You know, like he would send me stuff that wasn't spell checked. And I was just going, you know, I saw his computer and I was like, you have got like 300 things on your desktop. Like you've got all these unopened emails. Yesterday I said to him, how many tabs are open on your phone? And because I had like 47 and I was like, oh my God. And he had 415. And I was just like, I'm not a big cleaner, I have to say at home, but there's one thing I'm super anal about and it's stacking the dishwasher. Yeah. Mark can't do it. He sucks at it.
Denise, I remember you are so beautifully queuing up like every question that I have for you. So thank you for that. So one of the things that I really wanted to talk about was like, there are some really, I think, surprising from the outside things that you credit with helping you become a self-made multimillionaire. And you wrote a viral article about this. And I want to just touch on it here because it was so memorable for me when I read it that I'm sure I helped it become viral because I tell everyone about it. And
thank you.
Yes. And the idea here, the subtitle is, right, here's exactly how much help I have at home, right? And I think that that's something that ties into money blocks, how to create a life that actually feels abundant, right? And how to give ourselves permission to do that. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about what that looks like now. And then I would love for you to tell us what that looked like when you'd quit your job and you were working on income replacement and making your way to a six-figure business.
Well, remember at the start I was saying about how your money blocks never go away. You just find new facets of it. So I was already earning, I think, about $500,000 when I got pregnant. And I actually made the $1 million mark after I had, like, the first year after I had Willow. So I always say babies bring abundance because all of our babies have pretty much doubled our income, which has been great. But that being said, so already I was teaching money stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I had a baby and then I was like, oh, I can't pay for help. What are my friends going to think? You know, like my friends from back home, what are they going to think having a nanny? That's so only rich, fancy people do that, right? And so each time you change your circumstances or you go into a new phase of life, you're going to uncover the same money blocks because mine are always the same. It's always, mine are always like, oh, people aren't going to like me. They're going to think I'm too fancy or big for my boots. Like no matter how much money I've had from like nothing to now, that's always been my one that's followed me.
It's your core story or whatever.
Yes, yeah. It really is. It's like, oh, people won't like me. I won't be down to earth and humble. And so then one of my friends was like, no, people have nannies, Denise. Like that's not a, you know, that's not a super rich, fancy thing. Like it's okay for you to have it. And I'd had a cleaner for a while as well. And then I was like, I think we need some more help around like cooking and stuff. Cause I'm a shit cook. Like and I just don't like it. And I remember there was a time when Mark was like, you need to be doing more of the laundry. And I was actually like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to. I was like, I actually would prefer to work on my next book or, you know, work on my business. You know, like my business is doing so well. I think if I put more energy into that, we would make a lot more money. So no, thank you. And then he was like, well, I don't want to do it. And I was like, well, we have to outsource it. And I think it just came from that of just each time going, oh, that felt really good to not do that thing. What else can we outsource? So now we have a daily housekeeper who comes and she's the mum of the house. And I always hire really practical women in this role where I'm like, you're the mum. Just do what you would do at your house, you know, because they're like, what dishwashing liquid do you want me to buy? And I'm like, whatever you like, you know, I'm like, what do you want me to cook? Whatever you want, you know, and that's been such a blessing. And we always just have the most amazing, you know, people come and work for us, but we're also really good employers. Like, we're super flexible and we pay really well and all of those things. And so I don't feel guilty about it anymore. But other reason why I'm so honest about it, not to brag, because it sometimes sounds braggy, and I'm very privileged and I want to acknowledge that, all of those things. Let's pretend we had that disclaimer at the start. But it's more about the fact that nobody talks about it. And I would hate for anyone to think that I hate when people say, oh, you're a super mom. I go, no, I'm not. I've got so much help. Or they go, oh, Denise has got this business. How can I do that when I've, you know, got all this stuff to do? And it's like, well, I couldn't do it either, honey.
Right.
So find whatever help you can get and layer it in, even if at the start it just means that nobody does it. You know, give yourself permission that nobody does it. And I found it really weird when I got married that suddenly I was expected to cook. And I'm like, well, my husband and I have got the same level of education. You know, we've got the same, like, we're just as smart as each other. We've got similar, like, corporate experience. Why was it suddenly my job to do those things?
Yeah.
It's really, I just found it really weird that we have that assumption still. And I've had people say, well, how are your kids going to learn? And I'm like, do your kids really watch you do all of the things? And are they super appreciative of you doing all the things? You can, like, when they move out of home, you can show them in an hour how to do those things.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to do it for 20 years to role model it, you know?
Right. I love that. And one of the things that I shared with my mom, who did all of those things for us growing up, you know, she stayed home and that was her choice. And we had these conversations because my life looks really different. And I've also really struggled with, like, what was modeled for me versus what I am finding that I want, you know? And as a mother, as a working mother, as somebody who loves work, I said, you know, I shared about you and I said, like, Denise says that, you know, your kids don't care who does the laundry. Your kids don't care who cooks. Your kids care who, like, spends, if you spend quality time with them. And that was a major, major shift for me that I think I took away from that article too, because obviously I've read it more than once, but, like, and we'll link it up later so that everybody can read it. But I think, like, just your willingness to go kind of take a feminist approach and go, why is that even a thing? Like,
my job?
Right. And I'm also going to, like, write about it and share about it and talk about it because, like, I'm now at a place where, like, the life that I have is aspirational for a lot of people. The business that I have is as well. And so I have that ability to be a contributor, to your point, and say, like, it doesn't have to be a thing. Here's what's worked for me, right? Find what works for you.
You know, when you mentioned about your mom, and I think, like, my nan, she had to have my grandpa's dinner on the table every night at 7:30 on the dot.
Yep.
Same. You know, and if it was late, he would get cranky. And I remember later in life, like, they had separate bedrooms. She was trying to get a little bit of independence and his dinner was late and she threw it at him in his bedroom and he left it there and she left it there and it stayed there for like 2 weeks. And when I look at that and I think, if she had the opportunities that I have, she would have taken them. Like, she would have got up before work and she would have stayed up late working on her Etsy store. Cause my nan was, she was so talented, a lot of things. She could sew, she could paint. And, you know, like, I remember being at her house one time and she had all these oil paintings and they were hidden in the closet, you know, because she didn't, my grandpa had a whole room. He had a whole rumpus that was his room. And he sat in there and he watched TV and he had all his things up and he had his trophies and she had to have her oil paintings in the closet. You know, like, I just go, break, like, we have the opportunity to do it. And yes, it's hard doing the juggle and it's hard if you have no help and all of those things. But, like, our mums didn't have the choice. Our grandmas didn't have the opportunity. And you know what? You can create a business on your phone. You can write a book on a very, very cheap laptop. And actually, it's probably easy to do it on a super cheap laptop that doesn't have all the bells and whistles.
Then,
yeah, right. So it's like, yes, it's hard. And I don't want to make anyone feel like, oh, well, it's okay for you to do that, Denise. You've got help. But it's like, think of your grandma, you know, think of her life and what she would have done with an Etsy store, with PayPal, with Facebook. Yeah. She would have made it work.
Yes. And to tie a money block into this, I think that one of mine and a lot of the people here is like, it has to be hard. It has to be hard. I have to have earned it, right? And where do we get that? I mean, we get that from hundreds and thousands of years of time when it was, right?
Wait, like, what? It had to be.
20 years ago, this wasn't possible, right? And so can you speak a little bit to that money block?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I think it's really simple. Like our lizard brain or even our rational brain just hasn't caught up with it yet. Mm-hmm. It hasn't caught up with it yet. You know, because if you only saw that with your parents, with the grandparents, and then all of that, you know, that lives within us. Yes. My ancestors came from East London, you know, just working class people, right? Where you had to sell something with your hand, or you had to clean someone's house with your hand. That's what my mom did growing up. She cleaned houses. And so it feels weird, discombobulating, disrespectful, lazy, entitled, cheating, scammy, all of those things. To just like, oh, you can just make money, what, just talking to someone?
You make money on the internet.
Like, how weird is that? Like, you make money teaching people things that they could find for free at a library. Yes. Or on Google. You're making money selling what to who? How does that work? So not only is it new for like our nervous system probably, and just our like worldview, a lot of us are probably, it's probably new to our circles as well. Like I remember being at a barbecue with one of my oldest friends from back home, and she's an accountant, her husband's an accountant, right? And her hubby said to my hubby, how's Denise's business going? And Mark was like, oh, great, actually. Like, this is well past the $1 million mark. And he went, some people buy any old shit, won't they? And I just went, oh, my God, even some of my friends think I'm being a weird scammer. And so if you're the only one in your friendship group who has, like, written a book or is, you know, creating something or has an online store or whatever, like, yeah, you're going to feel like it's kind of weird. So I think we've got to be compassionate with ourselves that it does feel weird. Like, it's not going to be weird for our kids, right? And actually, George, who is almost 4, he says, where are you going? And I said, oh, I'm just going to my office because I've got a money boot camp call. And he goes, when I'm growing up, I'm going to have a daddy boot camp. They think I'm saying mummy sometimes.
Right, right.
Me instead of money. Yeah. And I just thought, oh, they're going to grow up thinking it's so normal for parents to have businesses. Yes. And to have meetings, or I'm just about to run out of battery. And they're just going to think that that's normal. They think, and think it's, you know, and if you're at the moment with your kids and you are, you know, you're making something at home and you're going to the post office every day because you're selling something that you're making on Etsy, like your kids are just going to think that that is just what people do. They make money and that's easy. So have compassion for yourself. You probably never had a single role model around it. And in fact, you might even be surrounded by people who are almost discouraging you a little bit.
Yes, that's so true. I mean, my grandmother grew up, she was born in the Great Depression here in the US on a dairy farm with no running water or electricity, right? And
yeah.
I adore her. You know, she had my mom at 19, right? I adore her, and she's still living, and it's my only, you know, living grandparent. Every time I see her, she's like, Christine, not everybody can start their own business. And she gives me a bunch of examples. And she's like, and, you know, not everyone can do this. And I mean, she's trying to keep me safe, right? She's trying to keep me safe. And also her life, gosh, her life was hard. You know, she lives in a like assisted living community now, and people, especially right now, like she's not allowed to leave her room. The Easter Bunny came to visit her and it like made her month, and they bring her 3 meals a day and all of this. And she's like, I feel like a princess, right?
Wow.
And she deserves that. And I'm so glad she's having that experience, you know, in her late 80s. And also, like you said, with your nan, like, no, everything in the home was her responsibility, and, right? And so we're challenging such big status quos. And, you know, like the community is sharing here, like our kids are learning to be kick-ass entrepreneurs. Our kids are learning what's possible. We're normalizing this for them and changing the status quo for them. And it's sort of like our responsibility without putting too much pressure on it, right? Also making Absolutely. It like about possibility and inspiration, right?
You brought up something really interesting though, which I think is a real key thing for women, is guilt. Okay, so it's almost like, if not everybody can have this, then yes. who am I to have yes. this, yes. right? Yes. And so I see this happening a lot at the moment of, well, I shouldn't be selling right now, or because we're feeling the collective around this, right? Of
no, seeing anxiety.
People lose their jobs.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing like people lining up for food, you know, like there's, it's an unmitigated global freaking disaster.
Yes.
Taking coronavirus out of that, beforehand, it might have been, you know, you see ads on TV about global disasters and people, you know, people really struggling. And, you know, there's no shortage of suffering in the world for sure. And I think as women, we feel it, especially I think mothers feel it. And I know when I had my baby, I was like, women do this with no hospitals, you know, like with no running water. Like it just made me just have it. Just I remember just like breastfeeding at 3 o'clock in the morning, just crying, thinking, I can't believe there's so much suffering in the world, right?
Yep.
And so we tie that up in, well, then who am I to make money selling my like bracelets on Etsy? Who am I to like sell a meal planner to other like suburban moms? Like, who am I to do this? But here's the thing that I think we need to get, right? First of all, us holding ourselves back is not helping any of those people. Like, that doesn't help anyone. It, anyway, the other thing that if you look at statistics around philanthropy, women give more than men do, right? So if we have more money in the hands of women, it's going to lift everything. And yes. there are studies around this, right? I don't want to sound like I'm being sexist here, but you know, we think about other women, we hire other women, we donate money to causes that help other women and children. And when that happens, it increases the GDP of countries, it increases communities, it increases the education level and the nutrition level of women in those communities. We just do good stuff with our money, right? And so I love the fact, even though I grew up on welfare and like literally any handout that was going around, like we pretty much had to have it, whether it was at school or whatever. My tax bill last year was like $800,000. Just my tax bill. You know, this year it will probably be pretty similar. So I feel pretty good about that, right? I feel like I'm giving back. I got student loans from the government. I feel like that was an amazing investment
yep.
in me giving back now. Right. I know that, yeah, totally. And so don't be afraid of paying more tax. Don't be afraid of the things that come with making more money, because you will help more people than not, right? But if you stay stuck and small, you're not going to be helping anyone, you know. And it's really, I think it's women who's going to, they're going to restart the economy. You know, it's women who are, we're beavering away, we're making stuff, we're keeping our businesses going, we're showing up and doing all these things. And like, I know most of the women too, entrepreneurs, we're still paying our like dance school fees now that it's over at Zoom. And like, you know, my little kid, they're doing ballet on Zoom, and we're supporting everything that's still going on as much as possible. So, you know, the more money that you have in your pocket is going to go straight back into your community. I know that. We're not buying yachts necessarily.
That's true. That's so true. And one of the things, I think one of the values that you and I share, and that is another reason I just adore you, is because we are so committed to giving back, right? And like, you know, when I think about, okay, like we charge premium price for our stuff. We give a lot of stuff away for free, and we charge premium for our services, for whatever, right? For our stuff. And then I think, well, I know that I give like a significant portion back. I know you do too, right? We donate to these causes that are important to us. And like, I know the woman in a developing country is never going to hire me as a coach, but I also know that I'm like so passionate about microloans because of all the things that you said, because of how that elevates a community. I know that like I want to end preventable childhood and infant deaths. Like, I want to end that because, you know, that's close to my heart, right? Like, I lost a child. And like, the more money I can give toward those things, the more I can change the lives of these women who I want them to avoid, like the stuff I've been through. And the more money I make, the more money I just know I'm going to give toward those causes, the more we can elevate, right? And the more education you can give. And like, it's just this beautiful cycle if we will give ourselves permission. So what would you say? I think the last question that I have for you is like, how can we create from a place of abundance right now? Like, even when things feel hard, even as sensitive introverts, we're picking up on everyone else's stuff. How do we do that?
Definitely. Well, I'm not going to say like get offline and stuff like that because my screen time's out of control right now. So I'm not going to be one of those people who say that, but still follow your joy, right? Because I know money itself doesn't motivate me that much. And I would love to make more money. You know, like I'm holding it very lightly. I'm like, what would it be like to make $10 million a year? Like I'm just musing on it, right? But I am not that motivated to make it for the sake of it. So find what would bring you joy. And it doesn't have to be just charity. I think it's good to have both. Yes. So like for me, I have a farm as well as a beach house. And so I get so inspired about creating things at my farm that it inspires me to do my business. And so this week we did an affiliate promotion for one of my friends, and I wasn't feeling it because I just was like, oh, I've got so much on. And then I said to Mark, okay, if we do it, all the money has to go to building something at the farm. And he's like, deal. So then we're really excited and motivated to do it. And the affiliate promotion did really, really well. It means that we're renovating a florist, we're renovating and building a little film studio. Like it literally did that well. And I just thought, yeah, you have to link your business activities. Like I think your business itself should bring you joy for sure. But then where's the money going? And how is that going to bring you joy? Because some people have lost passion for their business because they don't know where that money is going to flow to.
Yeah.
So sit down and really do some dream building or go on Pinterest and allow yourself to dream again, even though it feels like now's not the time to dream, right? Or people might be telling you, no, hunker down and hoard your money. It's like, but what would you do with a bit more money? And it could be, what would you do with your house? What would you do with your hobbies? What would your kids want to do? You know, has it made you reevaluate where you want to live right now? Well, where would you want to live? If money wasn't the object, where would you want to live? Because most people are so afraid to dream. And I think one of the reasons, you know, if everyone listening is a mom, there's one thing we can do straight away, right? The next kid's birthday party you go to, when your kid blows out the candles, don't say to them, make a wish and don't tell anyone or it won't come true. That's one thing we can change in our families, because we've set up this expectation that we're not allowed to dream. We're not allowed to muse out loud. We're not allowed to have these big dreams, and we're definitely not allowed to share them because they won't come true. Allow you and your family just to speculate and dream. And that's, I think you can hear the excitement in my voice already, right? When I start talking about the Rose Farm. And then I don't feel bad about making money in my business because I know where it's going to flow to. I know it's going to help this person. I know it's going to build a roof at my farm. I know it's going to employ people at my farm. I know it's going to help more employ people in my house. I know it's going to go to, you know, flow to community organizations that I work with or buy things from. So if you reinvigorate that, it will really help with the guilt.
Yes, I love that. And right, I was telling a client today, she was like, I'm taking time off. And the reason I quit my job to run my own business is so I could travel with my boyfriend. I'm like, well, if you're taking time off to be together, plan your next trip, right?
Yes.
Plan it when you can, right? Like sit down and do that if you're not allowed to leave your apartment. Like that's a thing and that's great, right? So I love that so much. And Denise, like I cannot recommend your books enough. I listen to them over and over and over. Of course, I love your accent. You know, my sister married an Australian. So Australia is so close to my heart. My little niece and nephew have Australian accents. So I just, they live on the sunny coast.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
Yeah. Right. Beach town.
It's a great place to be quarantined if you're going to be quarantined somewhere in the world, right?
Exactly. But I just appreciate you so much. I cannot recommend your books enough. Do you want to give us a little summary of the books to help people like figure out where to start with you?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. So first of all, my books, you know, they're on Amazon,
yes,
Kindle, paperback, and Audible. They're really, really easy to find. And my website is denisedt.com. Same with all my social handles. You know, I really hang out on Instagram a lot these days. So I'm at denisedt, and I love when people screenshot a little bit of my book or, you know, send me an aha, anything. I love hearing from people. So my first book is called Lucky Bitch, and this is the neglected, my neglected book, right? So, because it's not as many people know about it. It's my first book, and it's a really fun one about law of attraction and just like, just generally like being a luckier person, learn to be a lucky person, and have those opportunities start to flow to you. Get Rich Lucky Bitch is probably what I'm most known for. That's my second book. And that one is about money and about money blocks. So a lot of people send me messages saying, oh, I didn't realize I had money blocks, but now I realize, thank you, Denise, you've opened this can of worms. I realize I have so many. And so that's an easy one. And then Chillpreneur is my most recent one. And I really wanted to write a book about business. So there's stuff in there about marketing, working out what your business model should be like, what, you know, advice on pricing, things like that. So it's more of a businessy book, but it still has some of that law of attraction and money block flavor kind of as well. So get all three really, but
honestly,
and you can read them in that order if you want to. But yeah, Lucky Bitch needs some love because it does get neglected a little bit.
Well, and it's such, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but it is an incredible story about making your dreams come true, right? And I think,
yes, I
love it.
Well, you know what? That's the subject of my next book. So my next book is called 87 Weddings, and it talks about more in depth about what I share in Lucky Bitch, how Mark and I won a honeymoon competition where we traveled all around the world, testing honeymoons for 6 months and getting married everywhere we went. And so I'm struggling with it a little bit, this book at the moment. So it's on my decoy procrastination list, but it's about self-love and about how in the process of having to get married so many times for this competition, I realized how many blocks I had around love and self-love and about how, you know, being forced to get married 87 times really taught me about how you have to have that inner love for yourself before you're allowed to really experience anything good in your life.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to read that and listen to it, obviously. You know, our live studio audience is sharing so much about how much they love your books. And one of my biz besties and clients says, one of my favorite things that you've ever said, Denise, is rich women change the world. I say it all the time, she says.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we have a responsibility, you know, and rich is relative, right? You know, like, you might never want to be a millionaire, but the fact that you can earn your own money and use that money in ways that, you know, your grandmother never could, again, going back to our grandmas, I think that makes you rich. And, you know, we can see now how fragile some of our systems are when we don't have our own economic power. And so, yeah, I think all of us will change the world. You know, and you're seeing it already now. There's, you know, more female leaders coming in lots of ways, in politics and all levels. And, you know, I never aspire to be a politician, but I think entrepreneurs can also change the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Denise, thank you so much for being with us. I could talk to you all night/morning. And I also want to honor your time. So thank you, everybody. Go buy her books. Tag her at Denise DT. Tag me too. Let me know what you loved about this conversation. Please share this with your friends who are on this journey with us, because we need Denise's message out there. Like,
well, all of our messages. We need all of our messages. It really starts with you. If you can let go of your money blocks and money stories, and give yourself permission to show up and share your message, like, that is just going to have such a ripple effect throughout the world. And it's okay for you to charge. It's okay for you to make money, because we're going to do really good things with our money.
Exactly. Exactly. So trust that. Follow Denise, read her books, follow everything that she does. She's sharing some incredible content right now that's so relevant for what we're going through with quarantine and coronavirus. And it's also relevant for the future. So you could just go down a rabbit hole of her incredible content and everything that she continues to add to boot camp. So thank you, Denise, for making the time today. And
my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, my friend, would you love to get a free copy of my audiobook? That's right. You can get a free copy of my number one best-selling audiobook, The Income Replacement Formula, 7 Simple Steps to Doing What You Love and Making 6 Figures from Anywhere. And all you need to do is, if you're listening in the podcast app on iTunes, scroll down and leave me a rating. Leave me a rating. If you feel like writing a review, that would be awesome too. But all I'm asking you to do is leave me a rating, take a screenshot of it, and email it to info@lifewithpassion.com, and we will hook you up. Can't wait to get it to you. Thanks so much for doing this so that I can share this great free resource with more people. And I'm excited to share the audiobook with you too.
Here's to living your life with passion.